more misery to all men in every single state of history than any other single idea.
Dr. Craig, there was an article in the Christian Post featuring you. It was an interview with you in this article. It says, Christian apologist dismisses American Atheist 50th Anniversary Convention as nothing but posturing. Pretty flashy title, right?
Yes, that really was misrepresentative of what I said. This is so typical of the way the press excerpts words and then uses them to make an attention-grabbing headline. What I said was, and this is quoted accurately in the article, is that their motto, 50 years of reason, is nothing but posturing. And that is true. People may not remember the history of American atheists and who founded the American Atheists. This is Madeline Murray O'Hare's organization. And Madeline Murray O'Hare was one of the most down and dirty, vociferous, emotional, angry, anti-intellectual atheists to come on American scene.
Jesus Christ has not influenced the total world.
Listen, I wouldn't even let him lick my boots.
You don't know.
I am saying something.
Quit saying
you know. I am saying something.
You don't.
I'm saying something.
You're not saying anything. You're just...
Mrs. Murray, it's very easy
from nothing, nothing comes, but God created a force from...
Madeline, please, let him make his point.
Do you have any idea?
No.
And this New Testament
please.
That you have... Oh, and this was
yes.
written after J.C.
From
you
nothing,
have no
nothing
right
comes.
To say God did it.
No.
You don't know.
I am saying...
Believe.
Incidentally, were they Immaculate Conception?
Would you let me finish?
Or did Joseph have a part in that?
Madam, do you permit courtesy?
You don't know
Mrs. Murray,
about
Mrs. Murray,
the Bible.
Since you are such
it's
an expert...
It's a conglomeration
wait a
of rubbish,
since
and
expert.
You're an expert on rubbish?
Just a moment.
I'll tell you what, I graduated from kindergarten. Does that please you?
No.
You're very, very interested
did
in
you?
How many degrees I got and whether or not you're going to have this
no.
space to
no,
play
no,
back
no,
five
no,
or six
no,
times
no,
so
no.
that you can
I'm interested in whether or not
I'm
you
I'm not interested in that.
Did you take a course
no,
in philosophy?
No, I went through kindergarten. Does that help you?
Did you take a course in philosophy?
Does that help you that I went through kindergarten?
Nothing will help me with you right now except
huh?
the answer to a question. Did you take a course in philosophy?
I refuse to answer you.
On the grounds it may tend to incriminate
no,
you.
No, I took 20 hours of philosophy.
Then you know Nietzsche was an atheist.
Oh, bull.
Christ is probably the most mixed-up person in the world if you take a New Testament definition.
You believe in the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth?
No. No historical evidence of Christ, and you know it. Now, don't be asinine and use...
There isn't any historical evidence.
There is no historical evidence. The only evidence that there is in the mythology of the Old Testament, which nobody can understand.
For if God caused or created everything, who caused or created God? If everything must have a cause... He had to have a cause, too, to account for his existence. And so the cosmological argument is worthless.
You're going to spend your whole life preparing to meet the Lord. Boy, you folks are crazy as hell.
And so to characterize themselves as 50 years of reason, as though this is some great intellectual movement, is just clearly posturing, attempting to have a credibility and status that they have not earned and do not deserve.
She was a very unreasonable person.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And it's sad. I read a book on her, how she died and the horrible way that she and her adopted daughter, who was a granddaughter, and her son, how they died. Fascinating story, but also very sad. And she was really a very mean-spirited person,
oh, yes.
a real bone to pick. And so I think the American Atheists have tried to distance themselves from this.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I'm glad of that, actually. I think you're right. I think they're trying to do a makeover.
She was the face of atheism.
Oh.
And she went out and got herself murdered by some bad guys that she hired. I mean, that's what happened, but that's also the perception. She was a disdained woman, a hated woman. I think that we neglected the subject of atheism in the church for so long is because it was just Madeline Murray O'Hare and her rantings, and people just wrote it off and said, oh, but she's crazy, and you know, we have other things to talk about. If you're an atheist, you're just Madeline Murray O'Hare. You're just a nut.
Really, that was the perception of her,
yeah.
And I think not unjustifiably. She was an angry, ranting, mean-spirited person, and American atheists would now, I think, like us to forget that that was the genesis of this organization, and they're attempting to have a quite different public face now.
This whole thing about reason being in their motto,
mm-hmm.
are two things. First of all, how reasonable is it, as you point out? And second of all, it seems to say, you guys go ahead and have your religion. You guys go ahead and have your faith. We're going to have reason. Thank
yes,
you very
exactly.
much.
Things like the reason rally. They're playing off a false dichotomy here that opposes reason to faith. And that's why I so love the name of this ministry, Reasonable Faith. To these atheists, this is an oxymoron. They do not think that faith can be reasonable. And yet, there are so many fine Christian scholars in philosophy, in historical studies, in the hard sciences, who are faithful Christians and are entirely reasonable in being so. And therefore, this idea that reason is to be opposed to faith and played off against faith is just a false dichotomy. We as Christians celebrate reason as well. Ours, as St. Anselm put it, is a faith that seeks understanding.
One of the speakers this spring at their convention was A.C. Grayling, and I believe among all the speakers, he's the only one that you've had a debate with or interaction
with. No, actually, I had debated some of the other speakers at the convention, such as Robert Price as well. But Grayling was supposed to be, I think, the sort of big heavy hitter. He was one of the headliners for this convention. And what struck me as ironic about this was just a few years ago, I debated A.C. Grayling at the Oxford Union of Oxford University, that is the debating society on campus there. We had a debate on the topic, is belief in God reasonable in light of tsunamis? It was shortly after that terrible tsunami that swept Indonesia and Malaysia. And so it was really on the problem of evil. And even though Grayling is supposed to be the heavy hitter at this atheist convention, if you listen to the debate that I had with him, it was like shadow boxing. He just had very little to say in support of atheism or in critique of the arguments that I presented. So when I have had the opportunity to debate representatives from American atheists like Frank Zindler and then others that are on the docket here like Grayling and Price, I found, frankly, that they don't hold up their end of the bargain, that they do not, in fact, show that their view is the more reasonable worldview.
You were asked in this article about the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. We've done podcasts on that and shown, oh, so many things. I mean, the fact that theism and Christianity is rising in other parts of the world. But right now, there is kind of a shift going on in people who declare themselves as not having a particular denominational affiliation. And a lot of those are confused with atheists.
Yes.
They're not necessarily atheists. And you point this out in the
That's
article.
Correct. People will respond to a survey about their religious affiliation by saying, I have none, and so are called nuns. But that doesn't mean that they're atheists. In many cases, they simply mean I'm not affiliated with any denomination. But they may be people who believe in God, who pray, and have a spiritual life, so that these statistics don't bear their interpretation on their sleeve, Kevin. As we've emphasized in the past, when you begin to look at them in more depth, it's not at all clear that there is this great wave of atheism that is sweeping Western society and American culture today.
We have pounded in our young people's head, we've pounded it in our heads and in other heads that we're not religious, not necessarily. And that was a real evangelistic thrust
yes.
of the 70s.
Right.
The best-selling book was How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Bestseller, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I read it. And we all run around saying this, and we still say it. Oh, it's not religion. You know, you can be religious about anything.
It's relationship.
A relationship,
yes.
And we say
right.
that kind of thing. And so polls often say, are you religious? And you go, no. So I'm a Christian. I'm a
yeah.
follower of Christ. And so, I mean, there's confusion. You have to really dig down on these polls.
Yes, as I've grown older, I've become more sympathetic to the term religion.
As have I.
Because it does connote a certain perspective on reality and a dimension of your personal life that needs to be acknowledged, frankly, in opposition to secularism.
Bill, you point out that a lot of statistics show that it's still about only 2 or 3% of people who actually identify as atheists.
Yes. And as we've mentioned in previous podcasts, Kevin, theism seems to be on the rise in many countries of the world today that one wouldn't expect. So that it is simply inaccurate to think that atheism is experiencing a huge growth curve today.
Bill, it seems that the main thrust of American atheists are civil rights issues, laws, church-state separation issues, and things like that. They're pretty weak. In fact, they're very weak on offering arguments for atheism. It doesn't seem to be their passion, but this is the largest secular atheistic organization in the world, and they really don't deal with arguments.
I think that's quite right, Kevin. When you look at their material and their campaigns, they do tend to be more social and political, securing for atheists a place at the table in American society, wanting atheists to come out of the closet and confess their atheism openly and not keep it hidden. It's really a social and political agenda that they're pushing. And there's actually very little attempt to try to provide any sort of rational justification for an atheistic or secular worldview, and little criticism of substance of a theistic worldview.
David Silverman is their current president, and I've watched a couple of his debates. Nice guy, very well spoken, always on Fox News and some of the major news outlets, I think CNN and others, trying to put a good face on. But he's so far behind on where we are philosophically and where the debate is these days. He still uses terms like your invisible sky buddy, your invisible friend in the sky, and things like that.
Okay, so if you want to believe in an invisible man in the sky, you can do that, but that's not going to get me to say that's valid.
I am therefore going to posit an invisible magic man in the sky who breaks all known laws of physics, who did it for me. Ah. The exact same thing could be used for the invisible unicorn that I just made up just now.
Totally, apparently unaware of the ontological status of God. And he still uses the flying spaghetti monster.
You know, that's interesting, Kevin, because there you see the long shadow of Madeline Murray O'Hare that we talked about, the pejorative, sarcastic, impertinent attitude that is utterly oblivious to the revolution in philosophy that has taken place over the last half century. There's no appreciation or familiarity with the renaissance in Christian philosophy that has been going on over the last several decades. And so you get these kind of cheap shots with no attempt to grapple with the work of people like Alvin Plantinga, Robert Adams, William Alston, and so forth.
I want to end today's podcast talking about this social thrust that we hear from American Atheist Organization, wanting a place at the table, wanting a new face, wanting more acceptance, wanting not to be discriminated against, and so on. I had a conversation with a man online the past couple of days ago who is going around to churches speaking about top 10 things that Christians need to know about atheists and things like this. His main thing, Bill, is that he wants us to know that he is a moral man and that atheists can be moral.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, from the outset, I want to acknowledge, of course, you can be highly moral. You could be a very moral person. You can recognize and act upon moral values and duties. That's not the question. And he interrupted. He said, wait a minute, do you think that I, as an atheist, then I'm not going to go out and kill babies or anything? I said, no, of course you're not.
My.
And he said, well, then what are you worried about? Why should we even have this dialogue? If I'm okay morally and you're okay morally.
Isn't that interesting? See, for him, the truth of atheism seems irrelevant as long as the social consequences are acceptable. And for us, who are interested in truth, it's quite the reverse. You do not judge the truth of a worldview by its social consequences. And therefore, whatever the social consequences of atheism or of Christianity, one still needs to ask the question, but is this the truth?